You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Just very quickly, back to the end of last hour from the text line. The Mission Gateway property is still tied up in legal battles between owners and lenders. Until that is straightened out, nobody can sell it to anyone who wants to do anything. Okay.
Another great point from the text line, that land is so valuable that when that time comes, it's going to be hard to find somebody who's willing to pay for the value of the land and then pay to develop it.
Baseball stadium.
Did you say that on the air or in my ear?
That was on the air.
You want to put a baseball stadium on that tiny little plot of land?
I suggested it.
Plenty of room.
Yeah.
With no major artery to get there, it's right next to neighborhoods.
County Mission Parkway.
I mean, it's just baseball.
No.
You know.
Wait, hold on. You support putting it in the middle of the crossroads.
No, I don't.
He didn't. Oh. There was, I will agree there, Sam, there was no room down there.
I thought that was the dumbest idea.
I went down there and looked at that site one day. I was like, there's no way.
I think the Mission Gateway project, or we can't really call it a project because there's no work. I think the Mission Gateway site is a great spot for a baseball stadium. Plus those businesses just to the west of it, some of which have already closed, Wendy's. Could be a great space for a parking garage.
No. As a former resident of that area, no.
No.
All right.
If I still lived in Roland Park, which was right down the street from the Mission Gateway site, and you told me they were putting in the new Kauffman Stadium there, no thank you. Fireworks going off at 10:30, no. I'm trying to get some sleep over here.
It's better than what's there now.
Well, yeah, I don't disagree, but you guys aren't thinking logically. I mean, you're talking about putting a Major League Baseball stadium literally right next to downtown Mission with no arteries to get people in and out quickly.
Yeah, it's not a good idea. It's just the fact that the Gateway land, the site, is just, it's
sad because I remember the old Mission Mall, and that was a cute little, and I literally mean little, mall.
Its time had probably come for an update, but I don't think anyone at the time realized almost 20 years later we'd still be talking about it.
What was the name of the restaurant in there?
Coyote Grill.
Coyote Grill.
I love the tortilla soup there.
I almost said Cactus Grill, but I know it's not that. Coyote Grill was the greatest little restaurant in town. I loved it.
What is there now is peaceful, at least, from the text line.
Well, that's true.
Just like, turn it into a park.
You know, that idea has been mentioned before.
But the city would have to buy it.
But the city would have to pay for it. It's very expensive real estate.
They could put in there. They could put in a big box retailer.
No.
That was the original idea.
How about a movie theater?
Nope.
The second idea. How about an aquarium?
Third idea.
Can you believe that we've had 5 projects on that site?
Yeah.
That were approved
with
tax incentives?
That all, by the way, go back to the same ding-a-ling that can't get anything done. The same Valenti. Developer.
He's owned it the whole time.
His last name is Valenti.
We tried to get him on the program several times. That is a hard no.
He did not reach back out for comment.
Which is a no.
By the way, Jeopardy in hot water for the second time this week. The first time was for a
question that was
a sexist.
Yeah.
Clue. Yes.
This
about
time,
women who wear glasses, yeah.
Oh, I didn't even read that story. I didn't know it was about women who wear glasses.
Mm-hmm.
This time.
And by the way, the guy who guessed that, and it was the correct answer, the gal next to him wore glasses.
Oh!
What was said about women who wear glasses?
It was something like.
Men often don't take passes at ...
Women, what is women who wear glasses? And that was a correct answer.
This time, the clue that is bringing controversy, especially here for Kansas Cityans. Are You Smarter Than a Celebrity? We've all heard about the show. Is hosted by this man, who's maybe more famous as a boyfriend than as a 3-time Super Bowl champion.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know. Who is Travis Kelce?
Can I have a K, please?
I saw that it was related to Travis. I didn't see what the question was, but I think he was famous in his own right first. And now he and, by extension, his brother Jason are even more famous.
But the question or the clue was...
Was he's more known for that.
Who is more famous for being Taylor Swift's boyfriend?
Let me put just a slight spin on that question. Everyone in Kansas City was screaming, what are you talking about? People outside of Kansas City before the Taylor effect, I don't know that that Travis Kelce was like a household name. The way that he is now.
For football fans.
For football fans,
yeah,
a little bit. But not for, you know, because he was in that reality TV show. I mean, your average American that doesn't pay a lot of attention might not have known his name in the way
he
that they do now.
Over.
Well,
yeah.
There's a reason that his jersey went from being like 11th or 12th
to number one
overnight.
Hey, now, Catching Kelce was a hot show. No. What are you talking about?
No, it was not.
I think even he would tell you it wasn't
it
hot.
It sucked. I've never even seen a minute of it, and I know it sucked.
We are moving on with an update to a story that has changed the way I drive. There has been a third person charged in that bump and run in September in Belton, right where the highways merge just to the left of Loch Lloyd, wherever that is.
The exit ramp.
Thank you. Third person has been charged. If you forgot about this story, I will remind you, this is the story that I told you the next time someone runs into you from behind, do not stop, just call 911.
So they rear-ended the vehicle, and then allegedly one of the female passengers got out, went up to see if the person who was rear-ended was okay.
Yeah.
And that's when, allegedly, the male suspect got out, pulled a gun, stole the car, off they went.
Remember the women were twins, and one of them was wearing a Chiefs jersey.
Yes.
And the woman who was driving the car that was stolen was left in the middle of an exit ramp
with
no vehicle.
So the man, and by the way, GPS led police straight to the vehicle. If you're going to bump and run and do whatever ne'er-do-wells do with stuff like that, do you know at the point that you're doing that GPS is going to lead police right to you?
You're too dumb to care.
Maybe don't park the stolen car in front of your house.
GPS tracking located the stolen car outside of the home where one of the suspects live. Officers showed up, eventually tracked down the women following a chase in said stolen vehicle. The third person that is charged is the male that was with the two women in the car when I call it a bump and run. I don't know. It wasn't a bump and run. It was a bump and carjack.
Why would you steal a car, A, to Sam's point, park it in front of your own house, and also when you already have a car?
They claimed, the two twin ladies who were arrested, claimed that they did not know the man, that he was threatening them, and that's
please.
Why they were in the vehicle with him. However, when the police chase ensued with the stolen vehicle, the man was not in the stolen vehicle. Only the two women, were in the stolen vehicle. Mm-hmm. They then got away somehow from the police chase, and that's when they parked that stolen vehicle in front of their home.
Well, if they were kidnapped by the man... When they got the car home, why didn't they call the police and tell them to come pick up a stolen car?
Right.
Huh.
There's a lot of holes in the
story.
Their
story doesn't make a lot of sense.
Does not.
No, it does not. But it does not change the fact that if you hit me from behind, I ain't stopping. Let police sort it out later.
Where are you going to go? What if it's serious? I've been rear-ended before.
How serious would it have to be? Well, they can't smash you to the point that both cars are incapacitated, or then that...
kind of defeats the point.
Defeats the point of bumping into you to steal your car.
I think you were on the show. Years ago, I was at Shawnee Mission Parkway in Antioch at a stoplight. I was the second car in the right lane, and some dumb young lady was texting and plowed into the back of my car going about 30, 35 miles per hour. I was on the phone with my then girlfriend, and I said, I got to go. And so she hit me so hard, I hit the car in front of me.
Oh, God.
The lady, she was probably about 60 years old in the car in front of me, gets out, comes to my window, and starts screaming at
me. You're like, this is called inertia? I didn't do this.
Right. And she is just yelling and yelling. I rolled down the window, and I said, lady. I said, calm down. That went over like a lead balloon.
Right.
Yeah, that's the best phrase to always say to an irate person.
You need to calm down.
I go, hey, calm down.
I go, calm down.
You're
that person hit
loud.
Me. And then she never apologized.
Mm. Yes, the strategy, I am not a bump and robber, so I'm just assuming, but I would assume the strategy is a light fender bender, not a we're going to plow into you at 60 miles an hour.
And you said this was on an exit ramp, right?
This was on an exit ramp.
So chances are that there's a stop sign or a stop light.
Slowing down was happening.
At the end of the exit ramp.
And it was a Charger, which at the time, Sam said, is some
Chargers and Challengers are very hot market.
Steal. I'm not saying it could never happen, and I don't want to speak this into the universe, but you... out of 100,000 cars stolen, I think we looked this up, the Tesla is less than one out of 100,000.
Well, that's because you can shut it down
remotely.
You
can't really, I'm not saying you can't steal the car, but you really, it's not going to end well or be fruitful for you to steal that car.
Because of Sam's point,
It's run from it, me. It goes with your person and it goes with your cell phone.
And I'm not trying to give anybody ideas here. The only way it would be effective would be to literally have a confrontation
me
with you
in the car with the,
or I take your phone.
Even then it won't work.
Why is that?
Because it would be remote shut off immediately.
But you like, could, and even if it wasn't, you could call Tesla and they could shut it down, right?
Yes.
They have that ability, I'm sure.
And also the entire time you're doing all of that,
they would have 4K camera footage of your face.
70 cameras all over you.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Smile, you're on camera.
Right.
I will tell you this. If you ever park next to a Tesla, just know that your butt is now being filmed from every possible angle. It's the butt shot.
How many cameras does
Oh, God,
the
it's
have?
They're everywhere. So, Scott, like, we did this. We went to dinner on the plaza the other night. Cooper's Hawk, love me some Cooper's Hawk. And we parked, and when we came back, it said two notifications. And I was laughing, and I go, well, you know what those notifications are. Whoever parks next to the car or is getting into the car next to me to leave, it is a full shot of your derriere. That's just what it is.
Dan just said to me off the air that he's going to start mooning your car when he walks
You can, and it would be, like, it's right there at that
nice,
angle.
Nice.
And so it's just some dude coming back to his car and, like, fiddling for his keys and trying to get in the car, but the entire time his butt is in the camera.
Not that Dan and I are planning to do anything after work tonight.
Right.
But how close would we have to be, say, to a Tesla for it to record it? I mean, if somebody's, like, let's say you're at a grocery store and somebody pulls into a parking spot four or five down, and all the others are empty.
It won't record them four or five down, but once you walk into the frame, it will record you.
It's proximity, yeah.
Okay. But if we were really close to the car,
yeah,
it would...
But you can't be too close, because you want to make sure that your full butt is in view of the camera.
It's not the most flattering view of any human being that ever walks by that car.
Are there camera, or at least camera angles, that completely surround the car?
Yes.
Okay, good to know.
Interior.
Plus, you don't want to steal it, because then you got to charge it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd have to have a charger at home, wouldn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Or at least be willing to go sit out in a parking lot somewhere.
Exactly.
And first, you'd have to actually steal the cell phone from the owner of the vehicle.
It just doesn't work.
Vehicle.
That's why even criminals who are so stupid, I think, know that that's just something that is not worth stealing.
Police chase isn't going to go very well. Where are you going to get gas on the way?
913-586-7798, 586-7798, here on Dana and Parks. We don't know if it's true or not, but we like these kind of rumors. A number of people are texting in saying Roy Williams is in Lawrence.
Okay.
Wearing Jayhawk garb.
Okay.
For tonight's game. Well, it's his two teams.
That Hello. Is not true.
There is one sports reporter saying he is not in Lawrence.
He's not.
Johnny's is saying he is in Lawrence.
That's Photoshop.
And then a man tweeted me and said, I guess you'd believe anything, and I won't. That reply tees itself right up this week.
Okay. No, don't do it. I know where you're going.
Yes. Right now, most of the women I know would believe anything. Roy Williams in Lawrence doesn't seem super consequential.
That photo is photoshopped, similar to many photos that Johnny's has put out in the past regarding famous people being in their restaurants.
I'll still go to Johnny's.
Photoshopped.
Quiet, Sam. We want to
believe
it.
Someone is asking what's the loudest Allen Fieldhouse pop you've ever heard in person.
You and I were both there.
Without question, it was the Jacques Vaughn shot at the buzzer against Indiana.
Mm-hmm. I was there. You were there. I was up in the rafters, though. Where were you seated? Because the shot was right in front of me.
I was a student, so back then I might have been a little bit closer to you.
Oh, I'm sure we were in the same section.
Yeah.
Roughly, the student section. But, yeah, that was the loudest it had ever. And remember, they were chanting, sit down, Bobby.
Yes. Because it was right after he had thrown a chair. Why we laugh at that, I don't know. Because if that behavior happened today, and I know to some extent it has and still does, and there are coaches that are known for losing their temper, but like back then, he was so bad with stuff like that, and we still just laughed and shrugged it off that like that's just who he is.
The chair throwing incident, if I'm not mistaken,
was overseas, wasn't it?
It was in Puerto Rico. It was in a game in Puerto Rico, and I can't remember if it was an invitational or something like that. I don't remember.
I knew of a coach in high school who would pack extra clipboards.
Because he would break them over his knee?
Because he would break multiple per game over his knee. I don't know what the clipboard did. other than draw up the wrong play that time. I'm not sure. The board wasn't the one drawing the play.
I was going to say, I don't think the board is actually has very good penmanship.
But, yeah. Can I get another clipboard?
I've never understood coaches in college or in the pros who completely lose their minds.
This was a high school coach.
I understand. But like, and I love Roy Williams and everything, but I remember when he would get so mad, you would think he was about to have like an aneurysm or something.
Oh, he didn't get that mad.
He would rip off his
the jacket
coat,
would come out,
throw it down onto the
bed.
Oh, yes, he did. He would throw it down in his chair.
No, he did not.
Dana, I will find you YouTube video of it.
He would go, dadgummit.
Well, that would be at a press conference.
He most certainly threw the jacket off.
That's why the Saturday Night Live skit with Melissa McCarthy will go down as one of the best parodies of all time when they are trying to interview her as the abusive women's basketball coach.
That is one of the funniest of all time. Let me see if I can find that.
She's throwing bricks at the players. She's like, there's one scene that she's chasing them down with a golf cart. Even the interviewer like shows up and he's got a black eye and he's like, yes. No.
She's a good coach.
Well, you throw a brick, I'm going to throw a brick at you. God, it is funny.
I'll see if I can find it. I have found
it. But it's not funny. Like, that's what I'm asking. Why do we, like, somehow give Coach Knight a pass? Even in death, it was just platitudes for him.
Because he
was abusive to...
But that's why he got fired from Indiana, was when he grabbed that kid by the throat.
Yeah, you can't do that.
And it was captured on video. And they were just like, all right, that's enough. Sam, can I have my audio, please?
I f***ed that ponytail off.
Throwing basketball. Shooting t-shirt guns. Throwing bricks at them.
Brick. What is it that
threatening them with a baseball bat.
You take that ball and you put it through that hole and I won't hit you with the bat.
And while they were on roller skates. Even forcing her players to serve her meals.
Wait, where's the bread?
Where is the bread?
I sat down with Middle Delaware State Athletic Director Bill Crenshaw to ask why Coach Kelly was still with the team.
Is Coach Kelly unconventional? Sure. Have most, if not all, the players come to my office and beg for me to replace her? Yeah. But playing college ball isn't supposed to be easy or fun or rewarding. It's supposed to make money for the university. And let's not forget, these kids have it good. They're all getting a free education.
While it is true members of the team receive scholarships, Outside the Lines has obtained classroom video that calls into question the quality of that education.
She storms into the classroom and starts throwing basketballs at her players. You want to play basketball?
In their seats. I could watch that skit on a loop, but it's not funny if you're the parent of a player that like played for an abusive coach.
Right. 913-586-7798. 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. Festivus Friday coming your way right after the 5 o'clock news. The airing of the grievances, it is brought to you by Q39. Get your Q fixed today at Q39KC.com. Story here from NBC News. Three people have been charged in relation to the death of singer Liam Payne, according to Argentina's public prosecutor. The prosecutor's statement said that during the investigation, quote, illicit conduct was discovered, from which three people were charged with the crimes of abandonment of a person following death and supplying narcotics. Payne, a former member of One Direction, fell from the balcony of a Buenos Aires hotel on October 26th. Someone who was with Payne daily while he was in Argentina is charged with abandoning a person following death. A hotel employee is accused of supplying Payne with cocaine twice while he stayed at the hotel, and a third person is accused of supplying drugs to him twice during his stay on October 14th.
The prosecutor is also not ruling the death a suicide.
Yeah. I wondered that. I wondered that.
Did he just accidentally fell or something?
Mm. Well, the autopsy showed signs consistent of a pass out prior to falling.
Right. And then the cover-up ensues.
Correct. They're trying to figure out
listen to
how
this.
That all played
out. The widow of an ex-commander's quarterback is facing a bizarre lawsuit. While fans of the Washington Commanders bask in the glow of their current rookie quarterback, there is troubling news surrounding one of their former first-round draft picks. The widow of former Washington quarterback Dwayne Haskins is being sued by the deceased player's family.
Didn't he die in traffic?
For not giving up his ashes. Yes, he was selected 15th overall in the 2019 draft and died in 2022 in a tragic accident on a highway near Fort Lauderdale at 24 years old.
Mm-hmm.
But listen to this. According to the complaint from Haskins' family, they, quote, have experienced constant harassment from the defendant whenever they have attempted to reference his name, image, or likeness in public forums like social media. The former quarterback's father, Dwayne Haskins Sr., also references a time where he had an Instagram account removed due to his resemblance to his son and the fact that they share a name. The lawsuit also alleges that the widow, Calabria Haskins, refuses to provide an accounting of the ex-player's estate and refuses to, quote, share his ashes with the family. But I will ask you this, Scott.
I already know how I feel.
If he was married, and the term widow, as I read it, means his
he was married.
Former wife,
yeah.
And there was no will written, and I know a lot of people who are 24, why would I have to write a will? This is why.
Mm-hmm.
There was no will directing otherwise. Is she not the inheritor of the estate and the ashes?
The answer, I think, in one word is yes. And while I feel sorry for the mother and father of Mr. Haskins, the only thing about what may or may not have played out in that story that I disagree with is the removal of dad from an Instagram account because he resembles his son and because they share a name.
Yeah, I think she wanted him removed from his own Instagram account.
I side with the father on that.
On that one.
But regarding his assets and his ashes, clearly there is a family feud going on here, but I don't think they have a legal, and you and I'd like to play lawyer on the radio, even though we've never gotten law degrees. I don't think that they have, short of it being explicitly written in a will, to your point, I don't think they have any legal ground to stand on to demand an accounting of his assets or some of his ashes.
This was the young man who sadly ran out of gas. He was in Florida and was crossing the highway to
find help.
Was struck by a truck and then struck again by an SUV. Had a blood alcohol level of 0.24 with a cocktail of other substances in his system at
you
the time.
His BAC was 0.24, so that's three times the legal limit. Well, I feel sorry for all of them.
Write down your wishes.
But that's exactly right. You know, I think I need to update mine.
I don't have a will.
When you need to get one.
Even if it says you want all of your earthly property.
What am I giving up?
To your partner or your mom. I mean, however you want to write that.
I have life insurance, but I don't have a will.
Well, the life insurance beneficiary, that is ironclad, baby. Do you know how many people that I work with that I know, you know, I do those some finance stuff on the side, who all have that story where the ex-spouse was, or the way estranged, like 30 years ago estranged ex-spouse.
And they forgot to update their...
was still listed as the beneficiary on some old policy. There is not a judge in the world that will change that. Now, the recipient of those proceeds, full well knowing that they hadn't spoken in 30 years and couldn't stand each other, could very well do the right thing and say he would have wanted this to go to his adult children. Let me tell you how often that happens at the intersection of never and ain't happening.
Mm-hmm. When I had a relationship end not too long ago, the very first place I went was to the bank. I went straight to the bank and had my accounts taken out of somebody's name and placed into the names of just my two children. And then I called every company, like my 401k, couple of side investments that I have, and I made sure that my two kids were the only people listed as beneficiaries.
Because you forget, there's a lot to do. And I think, you know, if you're listening and you're 60 or 70, and let's say you have been married twice, or there was, maybe you were widowed. Mm-hmm. You know, go back and look at those earlier policies. When my grandfather died, God rest his soul, the retired military captain.
I don't believe that's a word he used.
When in his final effects, we don't know why, we don't know how, he had a life insurance policy for accidental death and dismemberment. And my mom was like,
that's pretty common these days.
Right. But like, he kept this policy, Sam, for like decades. And to be clear, he did not die of an accidental death or dismemberment.
Well, that's good.
But that was one of the ones they found that they were like, huh.
And can't you sell those policies?
Some of them have some cash value at the end, or if you want to, you know, use it as an investment and turn it into something else, you can. But that was one of the things they found. And then there was another rider on one of them. It was also some weird way that you would die. I mean, weird. Like, he didn't work on an oil well or something, right, where, you know, like the accidental falling to your death from an oil well. I mean, it was just something so bizarre. And my mom was like, what?
You mean, do you mean oil rig? Like,
whatever.
Out the ocean?
Yeah. It was just, there were a couple of that, like, bizarre riders. I don't remember what they were, but they were just bizarre. I was like, he was retired, and the only place he drove was to the grocery store, to the casino. I mean, that was it.
Well, some people overinsure themselves. I mean,
or he just forgot.
Maybe.
Maybe he had two home insurance policies at one time.
Two what?
Home insurance policies.
Well, that would be actually common.
Really?
In these parts.
I don't believe
that. I'm told. That's what I'm told.
Maybe he had earthquake insurance on his house.
Well, you know what?
In an area that doesn't get earthquakes.
First of all, with the fracking and the New Madrid fault, you are wrong. And I would have had the last laugh had an earthquake struck that house, because I would have been insured. As it was falling to the ground, I'd go, yep.
So you've
lived, we will rebuild.
I've lived in this town for almost 40 years. I've experienced one earthquake, and it was like,
I slept through it.
A 1.8
or something. I don't even remember, but I slept right through it.
And the only reason I was awake for it is because the dog started barking. Stella was barking her head off. And then I wake up and I'm like, you know, I was the only one at home, and I'm like, shut up. And I always sleep with the TV on. I had it on, I think it was either Channel 9 or Fox 4, and the windows were vibrating. I thought like a big truck just drove by or something. And the meteorologist came on like 2 minutes later and said, if you felt shaking, we did just have an earthquake here. And I'm like, damn. And Stella knew it was going to happen before it happened.
Oh, yeah. Dogs
know. They can feel it coming.
Isn't that crazy? They know it's coming.
Well, it's like all the birds fly out of the area where a supercell is forming for tornado.
No, remember when the hurricane was coming, when Milton was coming, all of those birds were going,
yes,
man, like walking
around the streets
in this weird formation.
Like they're trying to alert their fellow birds.
Oh, so weird. Can we get a monkey update when we get back? Surely they have found one.
No,
there's 40 of them on the run.
It is the same as it was at 2 o'clock this afternoon. I promise you.
It will remain the same for a long time.
Hang on. I'm
who
typing it right now.
When there's a monkey on the loose? It's not like there are
monkey
wranglers
busters
in the way you can call for bees or even alligators.
43 monkeys. This is from 3 hours ago. It's the most recent one I can find from AP. 43 monkeys remain on the run from a South Carolina lab. And that is the most recent. No, the BBC has one from three hours ago as well, saying the same thing. 913-586-7798, 586-7798. Festivus Friday coming your way in 14 minutes here on Dana and Parks. Yeah, Dana just reminded me, Thunder Gong is tomorrow night. It's at the,
wait,
is it at the Uptown?
It's always at
again?
The Uptown.
Yeah.
Always at the Uptown, and always such a great fun time. It is sold out. We are going to be there. I would not miss that ever. It's one of my favorite fundraisers all year. But if you go to thundergong.org, their merch is incredible.
Have you seen some of the celebrities who are going to be there?
I have.
Weird Al, Flavor Flav.
Flavor Flav.
Did you just say Flavor Flav?
You're supposed to say the R now, someone told me.
Oh, wait.
It's Flava Flav.
Brendan Hunt of Ted Lasso fame, of course, will be there. My favorite, Will Forte, who I believe you heard in that skit with Melissa McCarthy. Mm-hmm. Jason Sudeikis is back in town. Christo Fernandez, who is the Soccer Is Life player from Ted Lasso. Oh, he's so cute.
What was his name on the show?
He's in a commercial now, I think, with Patrick Mahomes.
He is.
Yep.
Okay. Flava Flav changed his name to Flavor Flav?
Yes.
Like I said, Sam, I can wait.
It is.
Why?
Because.
Still waiting.
It's like Prince, who went from Prince to Don't Look Him in the Eye.
Symbol.
Right.
Okay. I apologize. It is Flavor.
Yes.
Flav.
And someone did tell me he will correct you if you see him. He wants to hear the R. Yep.
Except for his name used to literally be spelled F-L-A-V-A.
Okay. But this is a new day. F-L-A-V. We are turning a new leaf.
Flavor.
Yep. Don't be a Dana and admit when you're wrong.
Danny Rojas.
Thank you,
Danny Rojas.
Love Danny Rojas.
Football is life.
I think the point of my story was, if you go to thundergong.org, it supports people who need prosthetics. Our good friend of the program, Billy Brimmelcombe, is going to be on the show with us in about a week or two. They always take a little debrief after getting all the celebrities in and out of here.
I saw an interview he did this morning with MSNBC.
He was on MSNBC this morning, yeah.
He was on Morning Joe with him and Sudeikis. Did you see that interview?
I did not. I saw the clips of it.
He said something that I just found impossible to believe, but it's true. 500 people have an amputation every single day.
And you've heard this, if you are not a child, and that's covered by Shriners and all kinds of other organizations, or a veteran, which statistically is an extremely small percent of those who need
amputations
and prosthetics.
Most insured, not all, but most.
You're screwed. Yeah. In the state of Texas, a prosthetic leg is considered cosmetic.
And didn't we have a young lady in here who had a prosthetic leg, and it was it $20,000?
Oh,
if memory serves me right.
It's like buying a new car every couple of years.
Yeah.
It is sold out. However, if you go to thundergong.org, the auction closes at 7 p.m. I'm looking at this right now. There are two Thundergong tickets up for raffle if you want to go tomorrow night. And I'm telling you, this is one of the parties of the year. I would not miss this.
Say hello to Flavor.
I will.
Flav.
I will. They have a signed Ted Lasso banner, Believe, poster on here. And just really, really cool stuff. Some Sporting KC packages, all the things.
Just like I never called Snoop Dogg Snoop Lion. I'm sorry, Flava.
Flav-er.
Flav-er. Say it.
His name now is Flavor Flav. That's his name now.
It is.
You could not sound more white.
Flavor Flav.
Yeah.
I'm just going to call him Mr. Flav.
Okay. Mr. Nine!
Oh, my God. That was the... I was so mortified that night. Oh, my God. Dan, have you heard this story yet?
Yes, I have.
When Dana and I were at that gala, and she, off in the distance, sees Tech Nine standing by the door.
Mr. Nine!
And she looks at me, and she grabs her phone, and she goes, come with me right now.
We're getting a photo!
And I go, what? She goes, no, you said you're going to take my photo with Tech Nine. And I'm like, oh, God. And then she runs up to him and she goes, Mr. Nine, I'm not crazy. Those were her first words. Mr. Nine, I'm not crazy. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, God.
What was his response? Okay.
He did take to his credit, he did take the picture, probably to make the crazy lady go back to her table.
Ran.
Yeah, if you comply quickly, maybe it'll end soon.
We have just opened all 8 phone lines, so get in early. It's the best time to get in at the beginning of Festivus Friday, 913-586-7798, 586-7798. The grievances when we return after the news with Dan Weinbaum.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.